Thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. Lord, there's so many things we don't know, so many things we can't see. Protect us, Lord. Guide us. Continue to be merciful to us. I ask for each person here, Lord, that you don't give up on us, Lord. Please use us towards your kingdom. And I hope that the scriptures that I'll share today will be applicable, Lord, and will help each person here to pray to you the way that you want us to pray to you, Lord. There's so much in your word about prayer. And thank you again for your many blessings. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Bob said that, go ahead and sit down. Please sit down. So Bob said that, let's see, February 28th, then we have 45 days. Then we got to figure out where to go. Isn't that right about the time of April 17th? So we could go to that motel, right? And stay there. Isn't that about right, the right timing? Okay. So this is prayer. This is a two-week message. So next week, I got to be careful how I turn my head. So I guess what I need to do is kind of say Dave or something, because I got this all on PowerPoint. And the first thing, what I want to focus on this week, part of it is what we should pray about, but also our attitude towards the Lord. Okay, so Dave, you can go forward one, please. We are sinners before God. We are very imperfect. Now, I want to give you an example on this. Let's say there's this rich guy who rented a plane. He gets up there, flies up to about 30,000 feet, and he's up there and unbuckles the belt, and he walks up and down the aisle and says, you know, I'm getting pretty comfortable here. I think I can handle this. I think I'm used to this here at 30,000 feet. Then he opens the door and steps out because he thinks he doesn't need the plane anymore. In our Christian life, we need the Lord just as much today as we did the day we were saved. The Lord protects and provides for us. The restrainer protects us from who knows how many spiritual things. Let's see, do I need to move over? Because I'm hearing just a little bit of a thing. Or is it me moving?
You've got a big head.
Yeah, I do have to have a big head. Okay, let me move the mic. Can I angle it? Is that better? Is that better? Okay, hopefully that's better. Okay, so I have two verses here. One follows the other. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going to sin again. We're going to sin tomorrow. We're going to sin probably later today. But what does the Lord ask us to do? Confess that we're sinners. Confess our sins. Come to him and confess, Lord, I blew it again. Please forgive me. Please help me. And what does it say the Lord will do? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The next verse, this is 1 John 1:10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The typical attitude of the world, of skeptics, of people who are, I'm going to kind of use a word here, churchgoers but not Christians, is that they think I'm a pretty good person. That's not the Christian. That's not us. We have to keep coming to God, keep asking for help. Just as I use that example of the airplane, we need that airplane. Once you get comfortable at 30,000 feet, it's only because the Lord is surrounding us with his love and protection. And we need to keep coming back to the Lord. We need to stay in prayer. The word says, pray without ceasing. I'm going to refer to some verses that, if you need me to look it up, I will. But it does say, Paul tells us, pray without ceasing. Okay, so we're supposed to pray all the time. And I believe that praying for forgiveness and coming to God humbly is an important aspect, an important part of our attitude in prayer. Go to the next one, please. Also, praise and thanksgiving. It's typical of Christian churches all around the world down through time that to start with praise and worship, and I think that's natural, that's normal, and that I believe is also how we should start our prayers. I just have one verse here, Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I believe it is natural for us, the natural man wants to say, okay, Lord, here's what I want, here's my list today, here's what I need. No, I think the first thing we need to do is to honor God's name, honor his word, honor who he is and our relationship to him. Lord, I praise your name. I thank you for your many blessings, and please forgive me. These things are integral to how we come to the Lord in prayer, okay? Now, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. Please go to the next one, Dave. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. We're going to actually study this later, but I want to read it through now, just so we get familiar with it again. You know, we recite it. There's actually many churches out there that recite the Lord's Prayer every single Sunday, and they kind of do it in rote without even thinking about what it is they're saying. And this is an example. Jesus says, pray after this manner. It doesn't necessarily say pray exactly these words, but here's who it is. Okay, so who are we praying to? Our Father who's in heaven. That's who we're praying to. Remember that there is a God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, there's a God of this world who deceives so many people. No, we need to pray to the God in heaven, to our Father in heaven. That's who we're praying to the Creator God. The first of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why? Because there's a whole spiritual realm all around us, multidimensional, all around us. We need to pray to our Father in heaven. And notice it's not my Father, it is our Father who's in heaven we're praying to. And what it says is, holy is your name. So there's praise. Holy, even God's name is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Now here's the beginning of praying for something, and it's actually praying for fulfillment of what the Lord says in his word. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when Satan's temporary reign here on earth is over, the Lord's will be done here on earth in its completeness in their lives. We won't have the suffering, won't have pain, suffering, death as we do now. So when God's kingdom comes in its fullness, then his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? Give us this day our daily bread. I was meditating on this one day many years ago. I was just kind of walking and trying to think of scriptures and meditating on this. And I was thinking, what does that mean? Give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to use a couple examples. Does it mean you play the lottery? If you're playing the lottery, you're wanting enough bread to for the rest of your life, right? I mean, no, what we're praying for, so it's opposite of what you're praying for, right? And we don't want to trust in money, right? Because, the natural man wants to trust in money. As Christians, no, we need to trust in the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread for today. Okay, so that's our prayer. That's where our prayer should be. Next here. And forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, or as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is a very interesting one, because we're actually saying, forgive me as I forgive others. Forgive us as we forgive others. That's very powerful. I think we skip over that and don't realize what that entails. It's very important. I'm going to talk about that. Again, later I'll talk about that some more. But we're asking God to forgive us. We're coming to God and saying, please forgive us the things we've done wrong. We do that all the time. Okay, and lead us not into temptation. This is a difficult one, because it says in Scripture that God doesn't tempt anyone, but don't allow us to be, I need to discuss it later, but we lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I believe we need to pray for that. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, Satan has demanded to sift you, but don't worry, I've prayed for you. If I were Peter, I'd say, no, pray that I not be sifted, right? I mean, that's our natural human inclination. Deliver us from evil. We're going to have bad things happen to us. We're going to have terrible things happen to us, or the danger of that. We need to then come to the Lord in prayer. God, I don't know how to handle the situation. I'm not sure what I should do. Please help me. Help me to find someone to help me. What should I do? Okay, deliver us from evil. And then once again, praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, amen is a very old Hebrew word. I believe it's best translated as so be it. Bob, is that your understanding, the word amen? So it's a very old, and it's become international around the world, but it's a Hebrew word, amen. Okay, so so that's the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus gave it to us as a model. Again, many churches say that every week, almost without even thinking about what they're saying, but it's kind of encapsulated so many different aspects, so many different things, and we're going to come back to it. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. What I'd like to do now is I want each of us to pause, and we're going to stop for a minute, and I want each of us to pray silently, and then I'll close in prayer. I know we prayed just a few minutes ago, but I'm going to ask you to come to God silently and ask for forgiveness of sins, to praise the Lord for who he is, for the light that he's given us, that we're part of his kingdom. There's so many people in the world that live in darkness, spiritually speaking, and we need to thank the Lord for his many blessings. Of course, we're going to go through trials. We're going to have hard times. That's natural in this life of pain, suffering, and death. But I'm going to ask each of us to pray silently, ask for forgiveness of sins. Remember what I started out with, John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's go ahead and pray, and then in probably a minute and a half or 2 minutes, I'll go ahead and close us in prayer. Please pray silently. Father in heaven, we come to you again. Your word does say, pray without ceasing. So we ask you to help to mold us to be Christ-like. Please continue to forgive us. Please don't be grieved by our many sins and our selfishness, the things that we do, sometimes without even realizing how selfish or how ungodly we may be being. Gently mold us, Lord, into becoming more Christ-like. Thank you again for your many blessings. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins as we have confessed them, Lord. And gently remind us of other sins that we need to confess to you. Gently remind us, please, Lord. And thank you for this process of cleansing. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. Now, I love this contrast here. This is from Luke 18, verses 10 through 14. By the way, all my verse references here are from the King James Version. So I'm going to give two words sometimes for one word if it has an old English word here. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee, the other, a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm a pretty good guy. Here, hold on just a moment here. Time to pat myself on the back. What a good guy I am. Remember John 1:10? If we say we have no sin, his word is not in us. Right? Isn't that what it says? If we think we're a good person, no, we're not good people. We're sinners. We're sinners. Maybe we don't see it as well as we should, but we're imperfect and we need help. Second paragraph here as I've split it here. And the publican, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but he hit his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me. Jesus tells us, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased or shall be humbled. And everyone that humbles himself shall be exalted. We need to remember our place with God. And the reason I'm emphasizing this is because I think so much of the modern church has gone astray from this understanding of our position with God. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. Gratitude is the attitude. Okay, I got that from somewhere. Be humble, be meek. So much of the modern church, modern believers, I'm kind of stunned what you see in some churches. You know, it's like, have you ever heard that song, I Am a Friend of God? To me, it's a nice song, but it is so presumptuous. Now, Jesus did say it to his disciples at the end of his time on earth. You were my servants, now are you my friends. But for us, and anyone, you know, a new believer or someone who's maybe not even a believer, but they go to church, I am a friend of God. That's so presumptuous. My Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We need to remember where we stand with God. Doesn't mean that we have to always hold our head down and, oh, gee, I'm not good enough. But it does remember that before our Creator, we need to be humble, be meek. Oh, this word meek. The classical way to describe the word meek is strength under control. Okay, it doesn't mean weakness. It means strength under control. And the example was the Roman chariot horses. So the Roman chariots, you had either 2, 4, 6 or more horses. They had to be strong, but also under control. So they're all working in concert. So meekness is a great strength when you've got strength under control, okay? And so, to be humble, not to think more highly of ourselves as we ought to, than we ought to think, because we have a tendency to do that also. Next slide, please. Job's attitude, okay? I'm going to look at a couple people in Scripture here, a few people in Scripture. Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz, or Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared evil and eschewed, or feared God, excuse me, and eschewed evil, or stayed away from evil. Okay, and we know that in the book of Job, that's actually the oldest book of the Bible. It was written actually before there were Jews. It was, Job was a God-fearing man who God then worked in and blessed him. And Job then in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Well, you know, what is his attitude compared to many people in the modern church? In the modern church is, how could this happen to me? You get a flat tire in your car or something. Oh, how could this horrible thing have happened to me? Well, yeah, we do have to deal with it, but it's like, Lord, help me to do what I need to do. On Sunday mornings, when we come to church, I think that the natural inclination is I want to receive. Okay, we're coming to receive. We're coming to get. But you know, Jesus said it's more, well, I'm going to use that verse later, it's more blessed to give than to receive. When we come to the body of believers, shouldn't we pray, Lord, help me to give to people today? How can I be a blessing to others? Wouldn't that be a good prayer? What do I need to do to help the brethren, to help my brothers and sisters in Christ? Shouldn't that be our attitude of one of giving? It's more blessed to give than to receive. The average person, receive. Have you ever helped out in a food bank or anything like that? You got all these people who want to receive. I have lots of stories I could tell this, but I'm only going to tell one. I was up in Fairbanks, Alaska. It's a long story. It was many years ago. And I helped in this food bank for a couple of days, and it was shortly before Christmas. And I remember the guys, after they got used to me and stuff, because I was a foreigner, I was from Oregon at that time, and visiting up in Alaska, and I had some time. They needed help getting their Christmas boxes and bags ready, so I went down and helped for a day or two. And they started telling stories. You know, they'll drive up to the house and hear the car at the house that where they need this food. The guy's got a lot nicer car than the one you're driving. It's like, oh, okay, well, they need food. Okay. They told me there's just this. I'm just going to tell you one story. This family called and said, is there any way you could deliver the food Thursday rather than Friday? Because that year it was usually like they deliver it coming in the weekend. I thought, wow, this family must really be in need. They must really need this. They want it on Thursday rather than Friday. And so they said, well, on Friday we're flying to Disney World, so we won't be able to be here, but if you could deliver it on Thursday, we'd really appreciate it. And anyway, and there's a few different food banks here in town, but it is, to me, it's a, oh, and Patchworks. Where's Jane at? She's somewhere here. Oh, there she is, way back there. Patchworks. I mean, there's many people who are in need, who are genuinely in need. There's other people who are in want because they just want more. They want to receive. They've never even learned the first principles of what we as believers would understand. That no, we need to be giving. We need to be loving. What was Job's attitude towards the Lord? Or Peter's attitude. Bob quoted from John chapter 6. He didn't quote what Peter says. Who else has the words? You know, Jesus said, will you leave me too? Who else has the words of life? Where else are we going to go? For Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Okay, we need to keep coming back to the Lord. Okay, I'm getting off track here, which I tend to do. I got slides to try to keep me on track, okay? If I get too far off track, would somebody just kind of say, oh, Paul? Yeah, Paul. Yeah, that's very interesting, but okay. Yeah, reel the guy back in. Go to the next slide, please. John the Baptist. John the Baptist's attitude. Wow, Jesus said there's no prophet greater than John, born among women than John the Baptist. Isn't that stunning? What a praise. What a praise of John the Baptist. Here's his attitude, John 3:27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Wow, what insight. The Lord is in control of everything. We tend to look at our lives and see all the bad things that happen. Remember St. Paul's attitude? I'm a prisoner of Christ. Wow, what an attitude. He understood that it wasn't the Romans who were keeping him prisoner. He needs to work for the Lord. And okay, now he's in chains, what can he do? Well, he can write letters. Wow, and 2,000 years of Christendom around the world has benefited from that, right? He was stuck in chains, but he could write letters. Okay, Job 3:30, three verses later, he must increase, I must decrease. Wow, that's a rare attitude, isn't it? I mean, so much of it is, whoever the other person is, he must decrease, I must increase, right? That's our natural human attitude. Biblically, we want to be servants. He who is to be greatest among you, let him be servant of all, right? That's what our Lord wants us to do. That's what we need to do. Okay, let's go to the next one here. Okay, again, let's contrast the attitude of modern believers. It really frightens me when people say, the Lord told me to. Oh, that just scares me. Taking God's name in vain, this is not a light matter. These churchgoers who contend that God speaks to them more than he did to Elijah, it just scares me. Right? I mean, Elijah often, he was doing what he believed the Lord would do. Paul, when he goes out on his missionary trips, one time he had a dream, don't go this direction, go that direction. I mean, otherwise he was using God's word and being logical, he was doing what he believed he needed to do, to try to do. My friend Kent Hovind, creation speaker, he said many times, nobody ever told me to do this. It was something I could do. And so he started doing it. Started teaching creation, going to Sunday school classes, and going out debating skeptics, debating professors. One thing led to another. No one told him he had to do it, but it was like, okay, what do you need to do? If an adult tells a child, go up and clean your room up, you don't have to say, okay, yeah, match the socks or put the socks in the laundry, put the toys away, do this and that. There's an assumption there. Let's do the things that we can do. God's given us enough clues in his word that most of what we need to do is right there. We need to try to help others. I'm going to tell you another story that I shouldn't tell you, okay? This was at Sam's Club several years ago over on the east side. And I was walking towards Sam's Club. It was an average day. It wasn't raining or anything like that. And this woman pushed her cart into the parking space next to her and then was getting ready to leave. Now, and I got to tell you, this is not premeditated. I said, you're leaving your cart right there. It was like a good parking place. But yet she just kind of pushed her cart there and she was going. And now, honestly, I didn't plan this, but I said, oh, you must not be a Christian. I shouldn't tell you this story, right? Bob's going to say, oh, Paul volunteered to speak again, but I think we got other things to do. Okay, anyway, but I said it without thinking. And she wheeled around. Yes, I am. I said, why would you push your cart? So I went to get the cart, and I was going to go put it in the cart corral. And she said, God bless you. And I said, see you on Judgment Day. Okay, so what do? We need to act according to God's word, right? Now, that wasn't premeditated. It wasn't premeditated. It was just, what on earth? You know, how do you treat strangers? This would be a completely different talk. How do you treat someone you'll never see again? How do you treat them? Do you let someone in traffic or not? They'll never get past me, right? Or do you let them go? Are you Are you lifting other people up or lifting yourself up? These are decisions we make every day, right? I shouldn't have told you that one there, but it's true. It happened. God bless you. Okay, so anyway, let's see here where we're at here. Oh, I use these two as examples. You know, the Lord told me to. The Lord told me to get a better job. Did he? Did he really? Lord told me to buy an expensive car. I got to have a good car. Well, yeah, we do need to have reliable transportation, but it's something we need to pray about. But when people say, the Lord told me to, to me, it just frightens me. If someone thinks that God is speaking to them on a daily basis, well, which God? Test the spirits, you know? Because, I mean, there's other spirits out there. We need to wait on the Lord, but we need to use his word. We need to use God's word as our guidance rather than these voices that are out there. Mention one other thing, the Jesus Calling books. There's probably some good things in there. I don't like them. Pardon me?
For her.
For who? You mean the author?
The author.
The author wrote some good things for the author, yeah. But it's off balance because it puts us at the center. We're not at the center. We need the Lord to be at the center, okay? So we need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for forgiveness. We need to elevate the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look. Am I talking? Bob, how am I doing? Am I talking too long or am I going okay? Or we're okay? Okay, let's go to the next slide here. Prayer of Daniel. Okay, I want you to notice, and I want you to remember the Lord's Prayer. Because here's Daniel, about 600 years earlier. Okay, I'm going to read this first part here. Daniel 9, verses 3 and 4. We have many prayers in the Bible. Next week I'll be bringing some more, just for us to compare. Look at the attitude. Look at this person, this godly man, this godly person, and how he approached the Lord. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Okay? So first he's acknowledging who God is and him representing or praying on behalf, he's praying on behalf of Israel. I'm not going to give you the whole prayer, but you can find it. It's in Daniel 9. It's a whole prayer. Let's go to the next slide, please. And then the prayer continues. And down in verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thy own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people who are called by thy name. Okay. Look at his attitude. Look at his attitude. So I see a consistency in Scripture of how we should reverence God that many modern believers, and it can affect us, and that's why I'm emphasizing this, of how we approach the Lord, this whole idea, I am a friend of God, buddy, or the Lord told me to, or something like I really have a hard time with that. I'm questioning which God they're praying to. I'm sorry to say it, but it's like, if you're praying to the God of the Bible, you better be reverent, okay? Now, next slide, please. So notice his attitude, Daniel's attitude, appealing to the Lord for God's mercies and his forgiveness. And Daniel starts with praise, okay? Praise to the Lord, okay? So there's a real consistency, and that's consistent with the Lord's Prayer and other prayers. Okay, next slide, please. This is a famous NASA photo called Pale Blue Dot. Back in, I think, about 1990, Carl Sagan asked them to turn a particular satellite that we had launched, that America had launched, and sent out, and it's heading past Saturn, past Uranus, past Neptune, towards Pluto, and to turn it around and take a picture of the Earth. The Earth is in this photo. On the right side, you see that little dot, the white dot? Yeah. That is the Earth. Everybody you and I know, everything we've seen and have heard, everywhere we've walked or driven our car or flown to or ridden in ships, is all in that little dot. Now, keep that in mind, and I want you to think about the people who want to demand things of God. Your promises. Hey, I'm holding you accountable. Is that lightning? I'm hearing thunderclouds coming. What's going, right? Isn't that insane? There are trillions of what we know of our universe, trillions of galaxies, trillions of stars per galaxy. We're on that little planet there. What should our attitude be towards our Creator? One of being humble and of coming to God and asking for help. There is, what is the first thing we see about Adam and Eve? Deception, and we fell for it, right? Actually, I know I'm getting off subject again. Just very brief, very brief. If you've never heard it, there's a woman who made a video in a book called Bad Girls of the Bible. Have any of you heard of it? Oh, it's very funny. It's hilarious. You've heard of it, Steve? Bad Girls of the Bible. The first woman had one rule to keep, and it was related to diet, and she couldn't keep it. Isn't that funny? Anyway, it's a funny comedy thing. If you ever get it, I don't know who. Somebody would have it somewhere, but it's a funny, funny video. And she has a book also, Bad Girls of the Bible. Okay, let's see. Why did I mention that? Deception. but men and women, all of us as humans, we are so easily deceived. We see that happening. When Jesus, I'm getting off subject just briefly, in the Olivet Discourse, which is in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, the very first thing Jesus says about the end times, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no man deceives you. Take heed that you not be deceived. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. It's in three of the four Gospels. The first thing Jesus says, take heed you don't be deceived. We're living in the greatest era of deception, I believe, in human history. Okay, but let us remember where we are. We're humans. There's a whole, maybe multiple layers or realms of powerful spiritual beings above us. And we need to pray to the God of heaven, ask for help, ask for protections. There's so many people who can be deceived. Right. Okay, thank you for that comment. Yes, that's true. We are, we have nothing. We know, this happened. We don't know any of the details. And maybe in our limited minds, we don't know. We don't know how much higher angels are than us. We know we were created a little lower than the angels, it says in the Psalms. We know that for some have entertained angels unaware. We know that angels can imitate or impersonate being humans, and we would not know the difference. Okay, please go to the next slide. That was perfect timing because right after Pale Blue Dot, I wanted to kind of pause and ask does anyone disagree or maybe I've been unclear or any questions thus far? And thank you for your comments there. Anything there? We're okay? We're good? Okay, we're moving on. We're actually pretty close to being done, but we have a few more slides here. Okay, let's go back to the Lord's Prayer and look at each phrase, okay? So Jesus said, after this manner, again, not these exact words. And probably the first time we went through this, maybe I spent too much more time than I should have because I'm not going to elaborate much on what we said before. But, we're recognizing who it is we're praying to. Our Father. I know some people, some men in the Kairos ministry, and they go to prisons and minister to the men. And one of the things that they really key on is that God is our Father, because many of them didn't have an earthly father, that wasn't part of their lives, a man who wasn't a part of their lives. This last week, I got to watch a documentary that was loaned to me about Steve McQueen, and he came to know the Lord near the end of his life, famous actor, but he grew up in talk about a broken home. Oh my goodness. His father was gone. His mother sent him to a farm a couple times. He was raised by an uncle and grandparents. His mother got married and abusive stepfathers and stuff like that. But particularly for persons, both men and women, boys and girls, who haven't had a father, our Father in heaven, we have an incomplete or a corrupted view of what a father does and is, that protective, that ability to protect, that ability to guide, the ability to correct in love. So our Father who is in heaven. Holy is your name. Hallowed be thy name. That's just very important, even God's name. We don't want to take God's name in vain. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Remember when I said these people say, the Lord told me to. The Lord said that, it just frightens me for them. It's such an odd, are they even praying to the God who we know and love as Christian? I'm sorry I'm being so strong on this, but it frightens me when people, they're blaming God. The Lord told me I needed to get a new job. He did? How often did he speak audibly or in a discernible, to the patriarchs that we see in the Old and New Testament. It's just not that often. Very, very rare. Okay, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. In this prayer in Daniel 9, I didn't read you too much of it here, but he knew because he's reading in Jeremiah, in that prayer, he's reading Jeremiah, and so he knows that the time of the Babylonian captivity is 70 years. It says that he's reading in Jeremiah, and the 70 years is about up. So he's praying then, Lord, I pray for our deliverance. He begins to pray for that. Now, we tend to think, oh, it's in Bible prophecy, it'll automatically happen. My understanding is we need to pray according to what God has revealed to us of what he says he's going to do, and we need to be a part of that. Lord, how can I help? We're about to be released from the 70 years of captivity. What can I do? How can we prepare for this? Excuse me. Sorry. But we need to pray. This is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, of course that's going to happen. But Jesus is saying we should pray for that anyway. Next week I'm going to talk more about prayers in the Bible. But one of the prayers is pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I got to spend a month in Jerusalem. This is about 12 or 13 years ago. I was on an archaeological dig. And I want to share one more thing since I have tried very much to restrain from going on tangents. I was walking one evening in the old city. And when I went to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, prayed probably about a dozen times. Almost half the days I was there, I'd go there and pray if I could and stuff. I remember one evening I'm walking in the old city, and I'm just walking between these things, and everything had changed. I stopped, and everything looked the same. Spiritually, it was something. Something was wrong. Something had changed. And I walked back about 10 or 12 or 15 feet and looked up, and there were two plaques. And one said, you are now leaving the Jewish quarter. It said it in Hebrew, Arabic, and English. You are now entering the Muslim quarter. I had left the Jewish quarter and entered the Muslim quarter without physically seeing any difference. Spiritually, everything, I can't explain it. Everything was different. Everything was different. It was something I'll always remember because it was like, what just changed? I couldn't believe it. We are, now I'm trying to remember why I brought that up. There's a good reason for it. Pardon me? Yes. And we're to pray, we're to pray for God, the fulfillment. Oh, the peace of Jerusalem. That's what I was praying about. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem because right now it's split. You've got the Armenian quarter, the Christian quarter, the Muslim quarter, the Jewish quarter, and Jerusalem there's so much turmoil there. It's a city that is strongly contested. And as Bob has given teaching on Bible prophecy before, I mean, it's a millstone for the nations. It's not a millstone, but it's a heavy stone for the nations, and that's prophesied in Scripture that this is going to be a difficulty in the end times, and that's what we see, is the contesting for Jerusalem. So next one here, give us today our daily bread. We need to pray, Lord, please help me to make it through this day. Help me to get through till tomorrow. Our tendency, our strong human tendency, is to want to be self-sufficient. I believe that adds temptation. It's not that that's bad. Could be a very good thing. It adds responsibility, right? To whom much is given, much will be required, the Scriptures tell us. But we are to pray for our daily bread. God, help me to make it through this day, to have the things I need. Okay, this help give us this day our gluten-free daily bread. Wait a minute. Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's see. You got to forgive me. 70 times 7. You got to forgive me. Okay. Now. Oh, and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We have to forgive other people. This is hard, folks. This is so hard. It's so easy to tell someone else you need to forgive that person. Oh. Man, I'll tell you, that is easy. Really easy to tell someone else. Oh, wait a minute, but you don't know what they did to me. Hold on here. Yeah, but you need to. But that guy told me I need to put my shopping cart in the corral. Something's wrong with that guy. Okay, let me go down here. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord is ultimately in control of everything, okay? Satan tempting. Remember in Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2, Satan wants to attack Job, and the Lord says, oh, in chapter 1, okay, but not you can't touch his body. In chapter 2, he comes to him again. He says, okay, Job then had boils from his head to his feet. Still, Job did not deny the Lord. Still, he did not. So even though the Lord does not tempt us, he is ultimately in control. We need to pray. Lord, please help me to see temptation coming. Help me to survive it. Help me to overcome it. Okay? And as it says here, deliver us from evil. There's so much evil in this world, and it's going to get worse. Some of it is seductive. Some of it is out-and-out evil, or it's a temptation, something we can get into. We're going to fall. There's a saying that a sheep falls in the mud while a pig jumps in the mud. So we don't want to be pigs. We don't want to jump into sin, but we're going to fall sometimes. We're going to fall. We need to get back up. We need to confess our sins to God. We need to confess we did wrong. Denying that we did wrong is the wrong thing to do, confessing our sins, okay? And then again, a praise. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, now, go to the next slide. This is, I was trying to decide if I should share these two verses with you, but they've been important to me over the years. I've saved the worst for last, it says, for almost the last. I'm going to show you something frightening in the next two verses of Matthew 6. I was just reading, because it's good to read the scripture, and I hope you're doing that on a regular basis or daily basis, reading the scriptures, reading devotionals. Okay, go to the next slide, please. At the end of verse 13, this is Matthew 6. It says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The next two verses, so Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I want you to pray about that this week. Okay, I actually have some things I'm going to hand you in a minute here and ask you to pray this week. Not only about our church, actually we need to pray about where we're going to be meeting a couple months from now, but pray about this, because there's some persons who have hurt us so bad. How can I forgive that person? It may be a parent, it may be an uncle, it may be someone from college, maybe a professor, maybe it could be anyone. It could be anyone in our lives. It is so hard to forgive, but we need to, Lord, help me. Remember when it says, "Lord, help thou our unbelief," right? We need to pray, Lord, help me to be more forgiving. Help me to do what I should. Please go to the next slide. We're almost done. Just want to talk briefly about our position in prayer. At the beginning, we pray. That's part of our custom, is to stand up. Honoring God. But in the Bible, many times people are sitting, they're kneeling, or they're even prostrate before the Lord, laying face down before the Lord. This is Acts 20, verses 35 and 36, St. Paul. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Kneeling is a common way to pray. Often in the modern church, we don't do that. So in some churches, they do have, actually it's common in some denominations, to kneel in prayer. But that is a very important part of being humble before our God, is our body posture. Now, you can pray while you're driving, things like that. Don't close your eyes, please. Don't have that much faith. but we can pray in any posture, but it is important to recognize our position with God. Also, this phrase here, Jesus said, is more blessed than to give than to receive. That's actually not in the Gospels, but Paul's quoting it from what he had learned of what Jesus said. It's kind of one of those interesting little trivia things, because it's not actually in any of the four Gospels. But he says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We need to try to have that as our attitude. Okay, we have one last slide. I hope I haven't talked too long or talked you to death here. Finally, and then I'm going to hand these out, and I'm going to ask you to, while praying for two things. One is where are we going to be? Where is the Lord going to move us to physically in our location? But looking at the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Before I read it, if you plant an apple tree, the branches are nice, the leaves are nice, but the purpose for planting it is you want apples, okay? If you have a strawberry patch, when I lived out in Berkeley, California, One house I lived at for a year had this strawberry patch in the back. It was big enough that you could almost always find one or two strawberries out there. It's the strawberries you want, not the leaves, not the stems. It's, you're looking for the fruit. It's very interesting, the fruit of the Spirit. I believe, what does God want in us? Yes, he wants to be merciful to us. I believe he wants us to exhibit the character, the nature of Christ. And that means, a main part of that is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What a powerful statement. Okay? Who and what are we supposed to be? And then in James 1, verses 2 through 5a, my brothers, count it all a joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Some translations say trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I find this interesting. You know, well, we go, count it all a joy. My brothers, count it all a joy. Count all a joy when nothing goes wrong, right? Isn't that our human tendency? Count it all a joy when things go bad. I had a flat tire. Yay! Woohoo! I lost my job. Do, 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 do. Okay, I need to stop here. But, okay, so what is our attitude? The Lord is in control. Do we believe that? If we do, then we need to understand he's in control. He's in control, ultimately, of our lives. He's not in control of our reactions. We are, right? How we respond. I've made some little sheets. My assistant, Gary, is going to help me hand these out. What they say on them. Thank you, Gary. You're a pal.
Yes, that means.
One to each person. Thank you, pal. So it says, Father in heaven, thank you. Oh, yeah, you take one, then please hand one to each person. Thank you. Father in heaven, thank you for your many blessings. Please help me to become more Christ-like this week. Gently help me to be more, and then I want you to pick from these or from other things in your character. Maybe, you know, there's some people who have a bad temper. Remember James and John, the sons of Zebedee? They were called the sons of thunder. Jesus chose them to be among his disciples, right? And I mean, so some of us have problems with that. You have problems with being unforgiving, problems with patience, we all have things that we're missing or lacking in our character. God wants us to be more Christ-like. What are the fruits of the Spirit? We need to pray according to God's word. There's some people I've seen, I used to know this man several years ago, he had no joy. Godly man, he really knew the word of God, but it was like he just had no joy about himself. If you're lacking in joy, or you see that in yourself, we ran out. How many people are we short? Just Bill? Okay. Oh, and Tess. Okay, I'm going to give you guys, I got one more here that I kept saying, I'll bring it back to you. This is something, you know, do you have peace? Do you feel peace? Or are you anxious? Pray for peace this week. And I put the word gently because if you've ever prayed for something like patience, everything's going to go wrong. Everything's going to go wrong. Oh, my goodness, you're going to get stuck in traffic. Oh, terrible things are going to happen. Okay, but pray for this. How can I be more gentle to people? That's something I need to pray about. I'm sometimes really brash or forward with people. I need to be more gentle. I need to be more gentle in my spirit. Say it again.
Yeah, you need to put cards away, you know, make sure they don't run into you.
Yes, I need to put the carts away and then, you know, to the woman, instead of saying, oh, you must not be a Christian. Honestly, it was just, I just blurted it out. But you should. Okay, anyway. But, okay, so praying for patience or for joy, for peace. Anyway, so I ask you to please do that this week. Pray each day. So we need to pray for two things, actually. One is, where is our church going to be? Where are we moving to? And the Lord's preparing us for a new episode as a body in Christ. And where that will be, where we'll be going, we don't know yet. We need to pray about it. We need to pray about it. And for us individually, who we are. So many churches don't take the Bible literally, don't take the Bible seriously. There's so many churches that are like a bless me club. Is your church, there's a saying, is your church a cruise ship or a rescue vessel, right? Which is it? Who are we trying to be? There's so many churches that want to be that cruise ship. Buffet on the upper decks this morning, right? They want that cruise ship. They only want those nice, good people. No, I believe the Lord wants us to be helping, to look for persons to help, to give to. Okay? Now, just a second. Okay, so we're done. Go ahead and go to the next slide. It's a polar bear eating a vanilla ice cream cone in a snowstorm. Next slide is. Did he go yet? Next slide. There it is. Polar bear eating a vanilla ice cream cone in a...
He's huge.
Needing vanilla ice cream cone, vanilla ice cream in a snowstorm. Okay, any questions?